Hey everyone, welcome to this holiday edition of the PadreCast. I hope everyone's having a good holiday and a good weekend. I don't know if anybody went out to fight the Black Friday crowds. If you did, I hope you had some luck. I just decided to stay home and make some purchases on Amazon. Plenty of good deals on there, and I'm buying way too much stuff. It's killing me right now. But I thought I'd want to run through a PadreCast here. I didn't want to get Fred out, spending time with his family. I didn't even want to ask that, so thought I'd just run solo here and go over some of the news of the last week and also take some questions from Twitter and Facebook on different topics, which I think will be something that I incorporate a little more in PadreCast going forward. So let me just go ahead and recap some of the news of the last week to begin with. And we're going to look at NBA 2K11 to begin with, which we got the first kind of big comprehensive patch on. It took care of a lot of the things that people were either complaining about or wanted enhanced from it. Things like the freezing in my player mode should now be taken care of. Shot stick timing should be improved. Directional passing improved. Home court advantage adjusted, particularly for the playoffs, which was seeing sim games being won by home teams by like 40 and 50 points every time. And then also even graphics changes with the Cavs court getting fixed. And so far, I think most of the feedback on that has been positive. I've seen a few different threads in different places about issues with online disconnects. I'm not sure how widespread that is. And then also my player mode, a lot of people are bothered by changes to it now, where the CPU is running plays on pretty much every time down the floor and is changing the flow and kind of the entire offensive effectiveness and how much a particular player that's being controlled actually sees the ball if you're not a point guard. So there are a couple little things there. They're going to have to be monitored. 2K hasn't really said anything about another patch. I mean, typically there are two big patches, and you might see one in January, February. I don't know. But there's been no definitive word on that yet. Hopefully there is another, you would think, for a game that's become such a huge hit and such a mainstream title that there'd be more than one big patch. We'll just have to wait and see on that, and hopefully we'll at least get some idea of whether that's coming or not. What else I had with 2K this week? A little more amusing side note with a roster update, as the 2K team decided to take Tony Parker's loyalty rating from an 87 to a 0 based solely on his infidelity and cheating on Eva Longoria. And now she's filed for divorce, and that has played into his ratings, which is a curious decision. I can't remember any time where an off-the-field type incident affected player ratings. And there was some interesting debate in the comments on this story. Some people thought it was funny. It just didn't make much sense to me, because the loyalty rating dictates how likely a player is to re-sign with his current team. And it was just, what, 3 weeks ago, less than a month ago, that Tony Parker extended his contract with the Spurs, his original team, obviously showing loyalty. If anything, he should have gone up in that rating. But I think maybe 2K was looking for a story out of this. It's no coincidence that the community manager tweeted about it. It's no coincidence that Kotaku and myself picked up on it, because it's an interesting note and it's something to debate on. But I'm not sure why they would do it in terms of the game, other than maybe to grab a headline. Or they just don't like Tony Parker, I don't know. But it was kind of interesting to see what people thought of that. My concern would be, you know, a future precedent. What kind of things off the court could affect on the court ratings? If they're, you know, you don't have troublemaker type ratings in these games. The NBA won't allow it. The NFL won't allow it. And I wouldn't actually be surprised if the NBA took issue with this. They're very hands on when it comes to details of the games. And I wouldn't be surprised if the league kind of chided him for doing this. It just brings kind of the wrong attention to the NBA. There are a lot of players in the NBA that cheat. There are a lot of players in the NBA that get in different types of trouble. If they adjusted these things every week based on that, there'd be a lot going on, and it certainly wouldn't put the league in a good light. But that's kind of where we stand with NBA 2K11 right now, which is, you know, it stands out as one of the best games of the year. I think that's pretty evident. No, it's not perfect. There's no perfect game. But they definitely delivered in terms of content and in terms of features that actually work properly and as they're advertised, which is something that always has gotten on me about the NBA 2K series, which is they haven't always delivered in every area. They've promised and they've kind of pushed as points on why to buy the game. And if you're going to do that, you have to deliver in terms of online play. If you're going to deliver online leagues, they have to work. You can't just put them out and use them as a feature point on the back of the box. This year, I think they delivered on pretty much everything. Yeah, there were issues like the freezing in my player mode, and there were, you know, plenty of things that can be improved on, but they really delivered in terms of content and everything. So it's good to see such a big patch, and good to see that most people are liking the patch. We'll just have to see where they go from here. That kind of takes me into my other big story of the week. At least opinion piece of the week, which was IGN kind of taking on the NBA Elite 11 story and providing a spin which I think was a disservice to readers. And that basically, in an opinion piece there, they presented the situation as some kind of EA Sports doing, you know, a good deed for the gamers out there by not putting out the game and therefore saving people the money of buying a bad game, which is ironic because now EA Sports, after pumping up this game for months, even while keeping it shielded from gamers, not showing video, not, you know, the press not playing the full game, just playing one-on-one at E3, all these different signs that things were wrong, that they knew things were wrong. The game still progressed. They still marketed it like they would any other game, and then they were totally prepared to release it. It had gone gold. They had sent it out to be manufactured. There were copies already out there. As we know, some people ended up with copies, a few people. This was not a good deed that they did. This was a business decision, first and foremost. They were totally prepared to release that game if the demo didn't get the big negative reaction that it did, and if those glitch videos didn't go viral. This game would have hit the market, and it would have sold for $60, and EA would have moved on to NBA Elite 12 or whatever, but they couldn't do it because the game was going to bomb. It was going to bomb regardless. So this idea that there's analysts out there saying EA lost $60 million on NBA Elite 11 is actually pretty absurd, because there's no way. They're going on this idea that it was going to sell a million copies. There is no way it was going to sell a million copies. It may have sold 150,000 total between the PS3 and 360, maybe. I doubt it would even have reached that. Yeah, they took a bath with this game by not releasing it, but long-term, what they're looking at is, if we had released this game, our NBA, our future with the NBA would have been dead. They would have had no way to earn that back in years going forward. So in order to save their franchise, they had to do this. So it's looking at long-term viability versus short-term gain. It was also going to get terrible reviews. I mean, there was no way this game was going to do anything in the market. Even with NBA Jam included, it wasn't going to do anything. So to frame this situation as EA saying, oh, we realize our quality wasn't up to par, so, you know, we care about quality. That's a bunch of bullshit, to be honest. Yes, they do care about quality. They do. And I don't fault them for using that talking point. But this was not why the decision was made. They knew what they had on their hands for months. There's a reason why they weren't showing it. There's a reason why they, you know, the demo kind of exposed it. There's a reason why the first video of the game was from an event recorded with someone's camera off screen. They didn't want people to see the actual gameplay. So they knew what they had on their hands. They've been testing it. They've been getting feedback, internal feedback on the game. They knew it wasn't any good, or at least it wasn't going to compete, and yet they totally planned to release it. So it's really, it just really got to me that this IGN article went on about how what a great deed EA did, and how we should, you know, it was a courageous decision, ridiculous, completely ridiculous. And I'm glad to see that a lot of people saw through that, and in the comments appreciated that, you know, they're not just going to get by on this. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are going to read that IGN article and think, you know, wow, EA Sports really stood up for people here. That's so not how it went down. Regardless, no NBA Elite 11. It's moved to Tiburon. It's another decision that probably came from all the feedback and how poorly it turned out in the decision. You had an executive getting basically canned. We don't know if it's related. Probably wasn't, but it couldn't have helped. And then we have, you know, a big question. Is there going to be an NBA game from EA Sports next year? And I think right now, if I had to put odds on it, I'd say no. I don't think they're at a point where they're going to be able to pull that off for an NBA, whatever, 12. And even if they did, going up against NBA 2K12, they would get demolished. So I'm not sure if they're ready to just put something out there. If they can do it with a studio change and everything, I don't think they have the amount of time to do it. We'll have to see if they have the resources to do it even. Okay, so those were the two things that I really wanted to talk about to kick this off. Let's get into some questions from Twitter and Facebook. I have a question from Akeem on Facebook asking about potential returns of the College Hoops 2K franchise and the MVP Baseball franchise. And these are two games that are really, you know, they ended before their time. In the case of College Hoops, it was because 2K didn't want to pay the NCAA's license fee. And sales of college basketball games are just not good. In the case of MVP, it's because 2K Sports got the third-party license from Major League Baseball. We know for a fact that Major League Baseball is not going to renew a third-party license with 2K Sports. They're not going to do a third-party license with anybody. They're going to open the license up, which means we're going to see a return, potentially. I mean, nothing is going to be confirmed for a while, but I can say almost certainly EA Sports is going to bring back a baseball game. They'll probably call it MVP because people think of that game so in such high, you know, in such high regard. And I think that's going to be either, I don't know off the top of my head, 2012, 2013. We'll likely see a game out of EA Canada. You know, this move of NBA Elite to Tiburon, it wouldn't be surprising if part of that was due to making room for a baseball game. At EA Canada, which is where MVP was made back, you know, years and years ago. So we'll see that happening, and then I think there's a good chance that 2K Sports just bows out of baseball. They've taken too big a hit financially, and I don't know if, you know, their brand is not strong enough to compete with the show and with EA Sports brand. Then we have College Hoops, which is, I get a lot of questions about, you know, is there going to be a college basketball game? I think right now the likelihood of that is very slim in the next few years. There is the potential for, I think more of a potential for a downloadable March Madness type of game where it's just the tournament. But as far as a full-fledged college basketball game, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. And I think there are a couple of reasons. First of all, college basketball games, like I mentioned earlier, they don't sell. Maybe 5-10% of what NBA games sell. The NCAA wants the license fee, which can be tough to pay up, especially when the sales aren't strong. But the biggest thing I look at right now is the lawsuits that EA Sports is facing for NCAA football, NCAA basketball, for player likenesses. Until that until we have a final decision on that, whether it's for EA or against EA, nobody's going to jump in and, you know, become a part of this lawsuit by making players that are too close to real life or making rosters that are too close to real life. It's just not worth the financial risk. A college basketball game, completely generic rosters, no one's going to buy that. And with real rosters or as close to real rosters as they're comfortable doing, they're risking becoming part of that lawsuit. It's just not going to happen anytime soon, unfortunately. Yeah, I was a big fan of college hoops, 2K. I liked college basketball games a lot more than NBA basketball games. Unfortunately, it's just the market speaking, and there isn't room for it right now. We'll have to see going forward. So thanks for the question on that. We also have from Twitter, the Real K Spike wants to know about how the online pass is affecting sales. And this is interesting because I was going to actually do an article about this in the coming days. It's a little too early to tell what the online pass is doing to sales. I think if you look at particular games, you can start to see a pattern. But it's, in just 1 year, it's too early to say whether the online pass is the reason for these sales spikes or drops. So you have THQ versus EA, or the two companies that are doing it. Then you have Sony, which has already hinted they're going to do it for next year with MLB The Show. But if you let's analyze some of the sales here, and you have UFC and WWE SmackDown versus Raw, both games for THQ, which had online passes, sharp declines, 50%, over 50% for UFC 2010, and 36% for SmackDown versus Raw versus last year. Now, that could be fatigue. I think that fatigue is definitely a part of that. These are games that don't have big roster turnover, and maybe don't show big advancements year to year. But they also had the online pass stuck in there, and THQ did a really poor job. In fact, I think they were more misleading or deceptive about this online pass system because they did not want it advertised that they even had it. So they kind of changed that going with WWE, though. They were a little more forthright about the online pass. But you saw big drop-offs there. So I don't know if the online pass mattered there, but it's something to consider. EA, on the other hand, has both directions. They had Madden, NCAA, NHL, FIFA all opened up in sales versus last year. They also had a game like Tiger Woods, which crashed completely. Tiger Woods, though, I think more had to do with his scandal and his image. NHL, Madden, NCAA, FIFA, all considered quality games, all strong brands, started up. With the exception of FIFA, which broke worldwide sales records for a sports game, NHL, Madden, NCAA, they all kind of fell off after that first month. And I think that's where we see online passes affecting sales, is more consumers know, I need to buy this game new. I might as well buy it right away. They know, there's a ton of pre-sale incentives, that are thrown in to encourage consumers to buy them right away. So we're seeing what's happening with that is games starting out stronger, but then dropping off, because who wants to pay new game prices a month later when they're still probably $59.99 or $49.99? It's not worth it to wait when you can get it new with the online pass with any pre-sale incentives. Like when I look at Madden, I basically bought that game for $40. It was $60, but on Amazon they had a $20 discount that you could apply to another game in the future. So it was essentially $40, plus I got the online pass with it. So why would you wait? You actually end up spending more for that until Black Friday, where we got these kind of drops in the prices. But online pass, I think, is affecting over the months. I think it affects word of mouth a little bit. The question is, are they going to keep it? I think they're probably going to keep it for now. We'll have to see how these things trend. Are these companies actually making more money in the long run? Did Madden make more money from selling the $10 online pass to used copies? We may not know the answer to that. We may not ever know the answer to that. It may just depend on whether they keep doing it or whether they go away from online passes, and then we'll kind of know why that's the case. So online pass, yeah. It's affecting sales. How, it's tough to say right now until we get a little more data coming in. Thanks for the question on that. And I have another question from Twitter. about EA and THQ, the future of their franchises. This one comes from the franchise 325. Wants to know kind of the future, how they the outlook for the for THQ and EA in terms of their franchises. And I think, you know, starting with UFC for THQ, they switched that to every other year now, and I think that's a good decision. It's just there's not enough to provide there on a yearly basis with, you know, with little roster turnover and features that really weren't fleshed out. And so they go to every other year. I think that's a good decision. And I think what UFC has to look forward to now for 2012 is their merger with WEC, which gives them something new that they can market. Because that merger brings in two brand new weight classes, the featherweights and the bantamweights, and a whole bunch of new fighters. So that is something they really lacked, was something to market strongly about what's new about the game. And so they're going to have that in 2012. They have the license through 2018 for UFC, so they're strong in that regard. Same with WWE. They've got years, several years left on licenses. The question is whether THQ can sustain themselves. They've had a lot of trouble staying afloat over the last few years, and UFC 2009 kind of saved them as a company, actually. So they're going to have to find a way to reduce costs, but keep sales strong. With WWE, they're trying to do that by releasing a WWE game every year. They're not backing off that, even though sales dropped this year. And not only that, they're expanding it. They're going to be putting out a secondary WWE game every year with kind of an arcadey type game. They have two or three in the works now. They're also utilizing the UFC license to expand as well. They have like a UFC trainer coming out, you know, a fitness game for Kinect, Move, Wii. And then they have a lot more in terms of iPhone and Facebook. They're going to be using those licenses, trying to get as much value out of the licenses as possible. In terms of EA, you know, they're pretty strong. NCAA football does have a license coming up in a year. It'll be interesting to see whether they renew that. Like I talked about before, college is pretty tough to get a handle on. But they're kind of in the middle of the lawsuit now, so I'm not sure what difference it would make if they changed course. I doubt it would make much difference. How much is the license worth? It's probably going to be in a negotiation, and it could end up being that the license opens up to multiple companies, but I don't know if that necessarily would mean a 2K or some or an SCEA would end up jumping in. I don't know if they would for a college football game, even if they could. So it's possible the license opens up and EA ends up still being the only one to use it. Madden got through Madden 13. The license runs through Madden 13, so the next... You know, it's through the end of 2012. Are they going to renew that one? I think it's probably going to happen. I think everybody wants it to open up to multiple companies. The NFL loves control, though. They love having just one company working on anything, really. They're not too concerned, even though Madden's sales have been going down. I think the value of the license is going to drop a little bit. But, you know, whether the NFL sees that as we can get more money out of one licensee who we can have really strong control over, or we can, you know, just because there's multiple companies paying for the license doesn't mean the NFL is getting more out of it. Because the license devalues as other companies are involved. So a license, you know, what EA is willing to pay for a license is a lot more for exclusive license than it would be if other companies were to jump in. You know, NBA, like I said, I think, you know, they're going to rebrand that. It's not going to be NBA Elite. There's no way. And there's a chance there's not going to be a game next year. I do think they come back eventually. They didn't move it to Tiburon for no reason. It'll be coming back eventually. I just don't know if it'll be next year. And the direction they're going to take it, I don't know, because they're going to have trouble fighting 2K. It's going to be many, many years before EA is seen as a strong competitor there. So basically, the two companies are in good position going forward. 2K Sports also, as it goes to NBA, is in good position going forward. There's a lot of variables to come, though. I don't know. You know, everything changes practically on a day-to-day basis. the consumers changed their habits as well. So we'll just have to see where that goes from here. All right. Well, you know, that's pretty much going to do it for this PadreCast. I just, you know, solo edition here. And it's kind of fun taking some questions from people out there. If you have more, feel free to tweet them to me. Follow me on Twitter at PastaPadre. On Facebook, you know, facebook.com/PastaPadreCom is the page there. You can also easily find the links in the sidebar of the website. Feel free to drop by there. Drop any thoughts you have or in the comments of this PadreCast. And, you know, I'll probably be back next week with a full PadreCast, including Fred. And upcoming, just to talk about a little to come, going to have my traditional December articles, kind of a countdown of the top 10 games of the year, which predominantly is based on enjoyment level on a personal basis, but also things like features and did it value and fulfilling promises and those type of things, instead of just what is the most popular game, which is typically what award shows or you know, different outlets tend to do at the end of the year. Also probably talk about NBA Jam, which my impressions are up on the front page still from a few days ago, and I have more coming on NBA Jam in the next few days. With online impressions, hits and misses article. And then there's also going to be, you know, interesting is a new NFL game coming. Fred and I will probably talk about that. Rumored right now to be a remake of NFL Blitz. And it looks like whatever the game is may be coming, the announcement anyway, at the VMAs. Or is it the VMAs? That might be the Video Music Awards, actually. But it's coming pretty soon. December 11th is the show. It's the and we've already seen in the trailer that for announcements, kind of teasing announcements, that it's the VGAs. It's the VGAs, Video Game Awards. There we go. December 11th. Looks like some sort of football game is going to be announced. It was NFL. It was a quick glimpse at an NFL game. It was from the ad that EA put out for Madden, which was actually a kind of a first-person view from Drew Brees' eyes. So we know it's an NFL-branded game, which means it's going to be an EA game. But we don't really know what it is. It just seems, you know, more than a coincidence that the rumor of Blitz would come out a week before, 2 weeks before, just a few days before this trailer came out anyway. So we still have a lot to talk about going forward. For anyone who stuck through this whole PadreCast, thank you very much. I hope you have a good rest of the weekend, and I'll catch up with you again soon. Take care, everyone.